Thank you just for your goodness, Lord. Thank you just for your spirit that is here amongst us speaking to us this morning, Lord. We praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you just for our hearts this morning. We can just bring to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool, so thanks, Jade is not here, but thanks to her for stealing my thunder this morning and sharing my sermon in two or three minutes. She didn't know, but that's the gifts of the Spirit, just God confirming the word through the body, and it was beautiful and encouraging to see how God is moving. So guess what we're preaching on this morning? The parable of the sower. So, are you growing spiritually? Are you growing in following Jesus? Has your spiritual growth been hindered? Has your spiritual growth been stunted? So stunted is commonly used in agriculture or in medicine, describing growth that has been slowed, hindered, or arrested due to a lack of proper nourishment and unhealthy conditions or constraints. And spiritually, we grow, as it's when our growing in faith has been held back and not developed as expected. And these hindrances, so to speak, what are these things that hinder our growth, our spiritual growth, our following in Jesus? Is the things that hinder us from the gospel, the message of truth, the message of Jesus taking root in our lives and keeping us from bearing fruit. It's watering down. It's coming against our identity in Christ, who we are in Christ, and watering that down from keeping us from being ambassadors for Him and living in that fullness to which Christ has called us to. So I want us to, let's read in Matthew 13. So we'll be reading it out of Matthew 13, going through this gospel. So it's Matthew 13, verse 1 to 9, and then we're going to go to where Jesus explains it in verse 18 to 23. You can read with me. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then from verse 18, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a little while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it, and indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case 100-fold, in another case 60, and another 30. So this is from the book of Matthew, chapter 13. So up till now, Jesus has been proclaiming the kingdom of heaven, performing miracles, and he's also been growing, facing opposition has been growing against him as well. And we can see here that he turns to parables to reveal the truth to those who are receptive, but also conceal it to the hard at heart. Thus he says, those who have ears to hear, let him hear. And Jesus says, for this he shared with the disciples and those the effect of sharing for the word, for those who were preaching the gospel of the good news. He said that not everyone would hear and receive the word. Not all, just because it's truth, doesn't mean everyone is going to hear it and it's going to bear fruit. And he's saying that some of it is going to fall, as some people are not going to understand what you're saying, it's going to fall next to the path. Others are going to receive it, but they're not going to endure with the message you share with them, with the gospel. And others are going to receive it, they're going to start growing, but there's things that's going to choke their faith in the kingdom, in Christ. And then there's some that's going to multiply, that's going to bear fruit. And it shows us that the kingdom is powerful in that though it's contested and with small beginnings, it can end greatly in multiplication. And if we look at this, the parts, Jesus is obviously the sower, sowing the word, and those who share the word is the sower. The seeds is the gospel of the word. And then the ground is the condition of our hearts, the condition of the hearts of the hearers of the word. And it gives us three scenarios as to why the word doesn't bear fruit. And then it shows us the fourth scenario, when it bears fruit. I've heard an interesting thing of pecan trees. I have a friend and someone we work with that farms with pecan nut trees. And how long do you think it takes for those trees to bear proper fruit in terms of it peaking in its ability to produce? 30 years is good. It's 20 to 25 years before it reaches its peak. So we can see it's quite a long process. And when we look at this, I'll be sharing it this morning from the perspective of us being the hearers of the word. Is the gospel taking root in our lives? And what are those hindrances causing us not for it to take fruit in our lives? For us to, like the word Stefan has shared, what was that in 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves to see whether you are of the faith. Test yourselves. And just for us to look at this and to assess, are we good ground? I mean, we're all here confessing Jesus for those who know Jesus and follow Jesus. Is the word of Christ taking root in our hearts, and are we growing? Because just like with a pecan nut tree, it's not about the first 5 years. They don't even break even by then. I think it only starts bearing fruit at 8 to 10 years. And we see here in the scriptures that it speaks of this plant in different phases. So if we look at that, looking at the scriptures, we see firstly that the word and the sower, that's perfect. Jesus is perfect. The word he shares is perfect. And even though it's perfect, it doesn't mean it's gonna bear fruit. But we see different types of ground and hearts that is received. One where there's no revelation of the word being received, that's the rocky ground. And then where it's spring, so the seed doesn't even go into a seedling. It stays in the form of a seed, but it doesn't go any further than that. And there's no understanding of a revelation of the word. Now, the Gospel of Matthew focuses on that this parable is about understanding the word. In this part in Matthew 13, Jesus spoke about seven parables that he shared. And this is one of the one that is shared in all the synoptic gospels, speaks about the parable of a sower. And Matthew was written primarily to the Jews. So it uses words like the kingdom of heaven, because the Jews were expecting a ruler to come and reign politically as well, to come and overthrow the foreign rulers of that time. So they were expecting Jesus to almost be like someone liberating them politically as well. And they understood the Old Testament that God's kingdom is coming. While with Luke, doesn't use the word the kingdom as much, because it was written not to Jews primarily, but to Gentiles. So I'll be using some of running the scriptures in parallel for the part in Matthew and Luke. But we see there, with the first seed being sown next to the path, it stays in seed form. And Matthew says that because it does not understand, there in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of a kingdom and does not understand, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. And this speaks to us in terms of the gospel and the truth of God's word not taking root in our hearts, or not even having the opportunity to be received, because we do not understand it. And that can be just because we haven't received revelation of it. We haven't allowed God to reveal it to us. Or that we're just distracted. We're living in a world that's busy, and where what God might be sharing through us, through the word or through the community, might not even fall on ground where it can grow in that place. And the important thing there being the revelation and understanding being received. And as we go through all of this, I want to put before us the concept of the spirit and the flesh, because the kingdom can only take hold in our lives in the spirit. And we grow spiritually and not through the flesh. Where as we go through it, we'll see there's a lot of things that in the flesh it dies, and that the flesh wants to take hold of our lives and grow through that. So as we go on in verse 20, as for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation and persecution arises on account of a word, immediately falls away. So it's received with joy. And I think for many of us, we can receive a word of God. We can receive a message with joy. It energizes us. We're excited by a new revelation. So understanding is received. Revelation is received. But it's short-lived. There's no endurance in the word being received. It's almost like a New Year's resolution. You know, when you're excited about the new year because you have hope that it's going to be great. But there's no endurance in stewarding it. Ownership is not being taken of the word that God has placed in your life, of the gospel, of your relationship with Christ. There's no ownership in it. So you receive it with excitement, almost in a consumeristic way. God, what are you going to do for me? What can I get from you? It's almost like a gambling machine, putting something in to get something out. And we receive it with joy in the short term, but it does not bear fruit, because we see in the word that it's rocky ground, yet has no root, but endures for a while, and as soon as tribulation or persecution arises on account of a word, immediately falls away. As soon as persecution arises, as soon as there's anything coming against that, against the truth of God, hope is given up, because from the start it was a consumeristic way of approaching God and His truth and His word. We come to church, it's a case where we come to church to get and not to give. It's a place where we come to get and not to sacrifice, where as soon as sacrifice is required in following God, obedience is required in following God, there's the person, or it gives up. And that's why it's so important, just to, when we go through difficult seasons, it's such a blessing, because here we see as soon as a difficult season, the desert season, the dry places enter into, that's when it's time to lock in and endure, as the Bible commands us. It also speaks to having handles in how to steward God's word, rhythms, to walk with God in wisdom. Whether it's reading the word, getting together with believers, Sabbath, resting, things like that, in order to endure in following God. Also with that, to realize, to take ownership of it. There's a term they use in psychology that I learned from Debbie called what they call internal or external locus of control. And that just basically means, and Debbie can correct me there from the back for the last time if he wants to. It's not the last time, but at any time. That you look to external factors as the reason why things aren't going in your life as it should be going. It's the other people that's the problem most of the time. The church, that's a bit better sound there for a second. The church doesn't understand me. They don't accept me. Or my spouse is the problem. They need to be fixed. God needs to do things in their lives. That's when we hear this message and we think, I know of a few people that should hear this message, that would do well to go and listen to this. That's an external locus of control. And just by realizing that God takes us through difficult seasons so that we can shoot roots, so that we can get through that. And it calls us to die to self. Because if we're not willing to die to self, we're going to be in the circular desert season always, where we receive things with joy. We're looking for that new YouTube podcast where we're going to get revelation. We're going to be excited about it, and a week later we're not walking it out. It hasn't taken root in our lives, and we stay immature Christians, if we stay Christians for that matter, because we're just in this season where we don't push through, we don't get breakthrough. Where we start becoming the victim in scenarios. And that's where we need to die to self. That's why Jesus calls us to die to self. Because life in the flesh is always just going to focus on yourself, on what you need, what you want. And then if you don't get it, if you don't want it, if your consumeristic ideals doesn't come to pass, then you want out. And then somewhere you hear another word that excites you, and then you're on it like, I won't use analogies for that, but like a kid on candy, let's say that. But it would be short-lived. And God is calling us to grow through that. So that's our second hindrance to spiritual growth, is that lack of endurance. And there would be difficult times, but it calls us to die to self. Like Jesus said, I think in Matthew 16, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. It cannot live. And so it is with us in our journey with God. Romans 8 verse 5 says that life and those who are in the flesh are hostile to God. They cannot please God. It's only through life and the Spirit that we can please God, that we can follow God, that we can grow in Him. So, and together with that endurance, once we decide and surrender to Jesus in that, it would require us to transform our life, whether it be rhythms and sticking to God's ways and not choosing our own ways, so that ground can be made soft. And I think we have these three things, the hard ground where it stays seed, we don't get revelation. Second, we spoke about the plant that doesn't endure, that's a seedling but never grows older. And then thirdly, being choked, the plant that gets choked. So that means the plant is no longer a seedling, it's growing. It's between that phase. I mean, in Luke, it even says that it's choked and their fruit does not mature. So it might mean that there's some fruit, it just doesn't mature, it doesn't grow to that fullness. So, and I think that's the dangerous part, where it feels like, I'm a proper plant now. I'm on my way. I mean, even Luke there says in Luke 8 verse 14, as for what fell among the thorns, they are the ones who hear, but as they go on their way, so it's on its way growing, then it gets choked. And that's, I think, the danger for many of us. But I would say that all these three areas is always at play in some way in our lives. Whether we need to endure and get through it and receive a word, or resist those weeds that want to choke us. In the end, in Luke, if we look at that verse, Luke 8 verse 15, it says, as for what was in good soil, they are the ones hearing the word, hold fast to it in our honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. So hold fast, endurance. That's the second one. So the ones that endure. And then thirdly, honest and good heart, free from thorns, free from idols, free from the flesh ruling in our lives. So the seedling becomes a plant and starts bearing fruit. It's on its way to bear fruit. And for many of us, we have had the revelation of seeing Christ. We've laid down our lives. We make way for following Christ. And we're serious about seeing God's kingdom come in our lives. But there's these things that tries to choke it. See, if you think of a thorn plant or something that chokes, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not that the plant wakes up and, oh my goodness, it's been choked overnight. After 10 years of growing, it is suddenly choked and it's no more. See, it doesn't work like that. It's there from the start and it slowly grows. And over time, it slowly, slowly chokes it. And that's the same with idols in our lives. Whether it's we want to see it as idols or just the flesh being strong. We seek Christ. We want to grow spiritually, but at the same time, we're tolerating the needs of the flesh. We're not saying no for the flesh. It's there, but at the same time, we also desire to be a balanced person and grow closer to Jesus and go to church and do all these things, hoping that God sees our heart at least, and that the idols or weeds or thorns that's overwhelming our lives is not counted. And we need to decide whether we want to feed the spirit or the flesh. That's what it comes down to. Are we feeding the spirit or the flesh? So a hindrance to spiritual growth is allowing the flesh to keep on growing. See, the devil doesn't have a problem if we go to church, if we do all these things, as long as we nourish these little plants as well. Those thorns and things, if they get their attention, if they keep on growing, I mean, he knows the end game is to choke it, whether it be at year 10 or year 15, it stays in the race. So Those idols must be dethroned. The flesh must be killed. For Jesus to be enthroned on our life, it means we must dethrone the idols in our lives. We cannot say, Jesus, you are king, but then we have the idols in our lives or those things that is also still carrying weight, also still giving direction to our lives. They must be dethroned. See, Jesus must not only be given preference in a season. He's not the one we give preference to in this season. Oh, Jesus, I'm so in love with you. I'm giving you preference, free reign in my life to use all the facilities, but, you know, my idols, those other things, let's just leave them. I mean, it's small plants. What are they going to do? Not realizing that they're competing for us. That's why Jesus said, we cannot serve God or mammon. Why would he compare himself with something like mammon? If, I mean, he's king of all. But he realizes in saying that we can only serve one. We cannot serve two. The two of them cannot coincide. And sometimes we find ourselves in environments or where the culture around us feeds those, call it idols, thorns, those things that choke the kingdom, and we go along with it. And that's something to be careful of and to look out for. So those choking plants, let's look at them. The three ones that Matthew mentions too, it says the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of the world. Then Luke goes on for us as pagans, clarifies it a bit more and says, those these plants are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. So those three things, the cares, riches, and pleasures of life. Now, for many of us would see ourselves as very responsible people. And therefore, we care about things, and therefore, we tend to get anxious about things. But worrying is not part of what God is calling us for. Like he said to Martha and Mary, he said, Mary has chosen the good thing is to sit at my feet, while Martha was worrying about a lot of things. And we can see that these cares and worries can then eventually lead us to not prioritize following Jesus or not give preference to him, but giving preference to our worries. And depending on our parents and how they brought us up and the culture around us, they might say things like, yeah, it's good to worry about X, Y, and Z. And then we think, okay, it's the right thing to do. So we keep on worrying and prioritizing those things in our lives. But Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. And in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See, we might think Jesus is a bit unreasonable. Doesn't he understand? And I think that was what Martha was thinking as well. Jesus, don't you understand that there's stuff to be done here? And, well, Jesus said the first thing is to seek his face, to seek his presence, to sit at his feet. I can't remember if he really answered it properly further. It's like he doesn't, I won't say he doesn't care about those things, but I think the most important thing is relationship with him. He's calling us for relationship with him. And cares and worries and being anxious is things that can derail us from following Christ. And it starts with caring and worrying about things, but that anxiety later on turns to fear, intimidation, where we can no longer walk and bear fruit as Christians, as those seated with Christ in the heavenly places. So we need to come against that. The second thing is the deceitfulness of riches. Independence from God. Being able to follow God to an extent, but at the same time we have our own provisions for when we want to do whatever we want to do. And Jesus said we cannot serve God or mammon. And then the pleasures of life. those things where we either medicate our hurts through some hedonism and just indulge in the things of life just to make us feel better. But these three things aren't mentioned to the pagans. These are things that Jesus says chokes the kingdom life inside of us as we follow him. I mean, if you see it as coming after each other, this is the third and final one trying to stop fruitfulness in Christ in our lives, and something that we need to deal with. Where my parents used to have holiday, there was this thorny plant, and for some reason I grew into the habit of trying to get it out. And the problem is, you can cut the branches. Next season, it's there in its full glory. You can cut it again. But the thing is, its roots just get stronger and just go deeper. So we can't just do behavior modification or in front of other people try and not do these things. The roots are still there and it needs to be repented of. It needs to be dethroned, otherwise it will have an effect on our lives. And it starts with repenting, coming to God, accepting Jesus, and as we accept him, to repent of these things. We ask wisdom for God on how to handle the challenges in our lives. Again, Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. Back to endurance. For us to have endurance in life, we need to understand these tools that God has given us. Prayer, fellowship, the Bible, the Word. We need to double down on those principles if we want to make it in that sense. God has given us these tools, practices, and rhythms so that we can be strong and that we can grow in Him. Because we've only been speaking about the things that kill the plant, but we haven't actually spoken even about the things that nourish the plant. And those are the things that we also need to double down on, focus on, give energy to grow in following Christ. But we also need to realize there are these hindrances, that even if we keep on growing in our spiritual disciplines, if we do not take care of it, it will seek to choke the life we have in Christ. And we need to say no to these things. And then as we get to verse 23, the last one, speaking, and I'll go for the Luke version. As for that which is in good soil, they are those hearing the word, hold fast to it in an honest and good heart. So hold fast in an honest and good heart. So holding fast is enduring, honest and good heart, pure heart, not focused on idols, like we saw in Psalm 27, verse 4. So I want us this morning, as the band comes up, this is actually really practical, just for us to bring these things before God, and you can stand with me. But the problem with many of these things, it's like that plant doing the choking doesn't happen overnight. It's not sudden, but it also means we, like a gardener, need to continually maintain our garden. And that starts with repenting of these things in our lives. So where there's a lack of endurance or commitment, maybe you don't, and Juliet, you can trip the lights if you like. Maybe in terms of lack of endurance, if that's you. So we're going to pray for lack of endurance, and we're going to pray and repent of life in the flesh. So firstly, if it's lack of endurance and commitment, if you've been someone that you're just looking for the next new thing all the time, and I understand a lot of personality types go to different side of it, but God also calls us to endure and commit and go through those desert seasons, not to go in circles, where we need to adopt godly wisdom in our lives, where our lives are chaotic because we haven't been honoring God's principles in our lives. So there's all these weeds, it's just chaos. And it starts with just getting back to God's Word. Reading God's Word, having rhythms of reading God's Word, having quiet time, waiting on God, being in community, not trying to walk alone. That's the easy target for the enemy if you think you're going to go alone at it. To walk in community. So lack of endurance for us to respond to that. And then secondly, for life in the flesh. These idols or these things that's calling the shots, whether it scares, things that you worry about that you need to come and repent of. And like that word that Jade shared, God is merciful in this. He's the Father waiting for the begotten Son to come back. So whether it's that cares, whether it's money, whether there's things that, I mean, if you think of God coming through, if He only comes through for you in terms of matters relating to money and business, maybe that's an idol in your life because that's the only place where you seem to seek Him. Come and repent of those things. Let's bring it before God. While it's small or big, someone is going to be here and pray for you. So with that, Nordia, if we can just worship and just want to call. So if that's you, you can come to the front and there would be people, if I can ask some of the facilitators, elders, so forth, just to come to the front to pray. And let's just trust God because Christ has died for us so that we can walk in this freedom, so that we can be bearing fruit. But the enemy wants to come and hold us back and ultimately crush us. And so, Father, we come and thank You just for this morning. Father, we thank You just for the condition of our hearts, Lord, that we can just come and bring before You, Father. And You can just come to the front. You don't have to wait for me to finish praying. Father, we thank You just for our hearts, that You just come and reveal those things. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your faithfulness of revealing those things in our hearts that seeks to enhance the flesh. Those areas where we are on the flesh, Father. Thank You just for You, as You just reveal those things. And just to invite You, as we worship now, just to come to the front. Front, you guys can go stand that side away from the band. If there's not enough space at the front, we'll pray then the corner where Diabia is also standing. And band, you can worship us, and let's just focus on God in this.